You know that feeling when you're commuting home, maybe the sun is right in your eyes, traffic is just crawling, and you glance up into your rearview mirror.
Right, the classic afternoon commute.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
And filling the entire frame of that little piece of glass is just the massive front grille of the car behind you. Like you can literally see the other driver singing along to their radio. They are just that close.
It's completely nerve-wracking.
It really is. And, you know, we usually brush it off as this minor annoyance, right? Just
Hmm?
part of living in a crowded area. But that one single second of impatience is actually this brutal physics equation that's just waiting to fail.
Oh, absolutely.
So, in today's deep dive, we are opening up the case files of the law offices of Norman Gershon to figure out exactly what happens to your body and your legal liability when that equation finally snaps.
Yeah, because there is this massive, massive gap between how we perceive following too closely or, tailgating and the actual catastrophic physical reality of it. So today's mission is unpacking why this seemingly mundane habit carries such devastating consequences. And we are focusing specifically on the unique challenges for you drivers navigating those high-pressure corridors of Westchester County and New York City.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because if you live or work anywhere near these areas, you already know the exact specific stress of merging onto these roads. I mean, we were talking about I-287,
Okay.
the Hutchinson River Parkway, the Bronx River Parkway, the Sawmill River
The
Parkway,
heavy hitters.
right, the Cross Bronx Expressway, and all the local, just tightly packed streets winding through White Plains, Yonkers, the Bronx, Manhattan, Queens, and Brooklyn.
I mean, those routes are notorious for a really good reason. You have this infrastructure that just forces millions of vehicles into extremely tight
Yeah,
proximity.
bumper to bumper.
Exactly. You have sudden bottlenecks appearing out of nowhere, construction zones squeezing like three lanes down into one, and just a constant grueling rhythm of stop and go traffic. The geography itself really creates the hazard.
And then you add the human element to that unforgiving geography, and it's basically a powder keg.
Oh, for sure.
You've got folks trying to get home after a 12-hour shift operating on zero sleep. You've got aggressive drivers treating the narrow, winding lanes of the Sawmill like a Formula One track.
Right, zooming in and out.
And of course, the ever-present modern plague, which is cell phone distraction. You know, someone looking down at a text message or a map app while moving at 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, and if we connect this to the bigger picture, the reason those human elements are so deadly on those specific roads comes down to the sheer math of perception and reaction time.
Okay, the math.
Right. This is what the vast majority of drivers simply do not understand. Every single driver, no matter how quick they believe their reflexes to be, needs physical space to process information.
Like a buffer zone.
Exactly. When you ride someone's bumper, you are mathematically erasing your own biological ability to stop.
Because, I mean, human reaction time isn't just like a switch you flip. It's a whole biological sequence.
Exactly. It really is. Let's break down the actual mechanics of a sudden stop. First, your brain has to visually perceive the brake lights flashing ahead of you.
Right.
Second, it has to process the cognitive realization that the vehicle isn't just, tapping its brakes, but actively coming to a full halt.
Okay, so seeing it, then understanding it.
Yes. Then third, your brain sends a neurological signal all the way down your leg to your foot. Fourth, your foot has to physically move from the gas pedal to the brake pedal and press it down hard.
Wow.
And only after all of that do the vehicle's hydraulic and mechanical systems actually engage the brake pads to halt a multi-ton machine.
So how long does all of that actually take in the real world?
Well, that entire perception reaction sequence takes roughly 1.5 seconds for an alert driver.
1.5 seconds, that doesn't sound like a lot.
It doesn't, but if you are traveling at 60 miles an hour, you are covering 88 feet every single second.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. That means you travel over 130 feet before your brakes even begin to apply friction to the tires.
130 feet, just while your brain is processing.
Exactly. So if you are only leaving, say, 30 feet of space between you and the car ahead, the impact is a mathematical certainty. You just don't have the time, so you don't have the distance.
And it makes me think of an analogy. Tailgating in heavy New York traffic is basically like walking on a treadmill
Oh,
blindfolded.
that's a good way to put it.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you might have a perfectly smooth stride and you might feel totally confident in your balance, but the absolute millisecond that belt stutters or stops, you are going down.
Yep.
It does not matter how quick your reflexes are or how athletic you consider yourself, you hit the deck because you had zero warning and zero space to adjust your footing.
That is a perfect visualization. You are entirely at the mercy of the machine ahead of you and the strict laws of momentum.
The laws of momentum, yeah.
And because of those laws, we have to look at what happens when that kinetic energy has literally nowhere else to go.
Right. But, I mean, I'm looking at this list of injuries in the case files, though, and I am honestly struggling to connect the dots here.
How so?
Well, I get the treadmill analogy, but I have to push back on this idea of a quote-unquote catastrophic lost speed crash. Like, the files show people suffering traumatic brain injuries and spinal cord damage, even when the car's bumper is just, like, scratched.
Right.
How do you get a traumatic brain injury if the car isn't crushed and you didn't even hit your head on the steering wheel? I mean, it seems biologically impossible.
It definitely seems that way, which is why the myth of the minor fender bender is so incredibly pervasive.
Yeah, people just shrug it off?
They do. People look at a slightly dented trunk and just assume everyone inside must be perfectly fine. But you really have to separate the damage to the vehicle's exterior from the invisible forces acting on the human body inside the cabin.
Because the car is doing exactly what the engineers designed it to do.
Precisely. Modern vehicles are engineered with sophisticated crumple zones and bumpers made of, you know, advanced plastics and foam.
Right, to absorb the hit.
Yeah, they are specifically designed to absorb, distribute, and hide kinetic energy during low-speed impacts, so the passenger cabin itself doesn't collapse. So the car survives, but that immense kinetic energy doesn't just evaporate into thin air. It transfers directly through the frame of the car into your seat and ultimately into you.
So the car's structural integrity actually passes the shockwave straight onto the driver.
Yes, exactly. Inside the cabin, your torso is strapped tightly to the seat by the lap and shoulder belts, right?
Right.
So when a car plows into you from behind, your vehicle is thrust violently forward. Your seat violently pushes your torso forward.
Okay.
But your head, which weighs about 10 to 12 pounds and is completely unsupported, stays right where it is for a fraction of a second due to inertia.
So your body moves forward, but your heavy head violently snaps backward.
Yes. And then it aggressively whips forward as your neck reaches its maximum stretch limit.
Oh, man. That sounds awful.
It is. That is the literal mechanical definition of whiplash. But, you know, the term whiplash sounds incredibly mild, almost like a temporary stiff neck.
Yeah, like you just need an ice pack.
Right. But we are talking about rapid, extreme hyperextension and hyperflexion of the cervical spine. Tendons tear, muscles rip. And going back to your question about traumatic brain injuries or TBIs, you really have to look at the anatomy of the skull.
Right, because the brain isn't just bolted to the inside of your head.
Exactly. It is suspended in cerebrospinal fluid inside your hard, bony skull. So during that violent whipping motion of a rear-end crash, your head snaps forward and backward so fast that your brain physically sloshes inside the cranium.
Wow.
Yeah, it crashes into the front of your skull and then rebounds and smashes into the back of your skull. This is called a cuccocontracture injury.
Cuccocontracture.
That bruising, swelling, and tearing of microscopic neurological tissue is a traumatic brain injury. You absolutely do not need to physically strike your head on the dashboard to suffer profound, life-altering cognitive damage.
Wow, that completely shifts the perspective. I mean, you could be sitting at a red light on the Bronx River Parkway, get tapped from behind at 15 miles an hour, and walk away with internal brain bleeding while your car only needs, like, a buff and a paint touch-up.
Exactly. It's terrifying.
And the source files mention herniated discs and spinal fusions, too. I'm guessing that's from the same violent transfer of energy compressing the spine.
You guessed it. Think of the discs in your spine like jelly donuts that act as shock absorbers between your bony vertebrae.
Okay, jelly donuts.
Yeah. When that sudden, massive compression force hits your spine from the rear impact, those donuts get squeezed so incredibly hard that the tough, rubbery exterior tears.
Oh, no.
And the soft, jelly-like interior bulges out into the spinal canal. That is a herniated disc.
And the spinal canal is where all your major nerves are running, right?
Right. So that bulging jelly presses directly onto your spinal nerves. It causes agonizing chronic pain that radiates down your arms or shooting pain down your legs, which is known as sciatica. You might feel numbness, tingling, or even lose muscle control entirely.
And a spinal fusion surgery is how they try to fix that structural failure.
In severe cases, yes. And we see many of these in the Gershon firm's files. Surgeons literally have to go in, remove the ruptured disc entirely, and permanently weld the adjacent vertebrae together.
Weld them together.
Yeah, using bone grafts, titanium plates, and screws to stabilize the spine. We are talking about cervical fusions in the neck or lumbar fusions in the lower back. These are massive, invasive, life-altering procedures that permanently restrict your range of motion.
Man. And because these internal injuries, you know, the bruised brain, the torn spinal discs, are totally invisible to the naked eye at the scene of the crash.
Yeah.
The moment the dust settles, a completely different kind of collision happens, doesn't it?
Yes. The battle over who is legally responsible to pay for it.
Right. The liability dispute. And in New York, the law addresses rear-end collisions with a very specific legal mechanism, doesn't it?
It does. Because drivers have a strict, codified responsibility to maintain a safe following distance, if you rear-end someone, there is a legal presumption of fault against you.
Wait, presumption of fault? So that flips the traditional innocent until proven guilty standard entirely.
In civil traffic matters involving rear-end collisions, effectively, yes. The trailing driver is legally presumed negligent for causing the crash unless they can actively prove a sudden, unavoidable, and completely unforeseeable emergency.
Like a tree falling on the road or something.
Exactly. The law assumes you failed to leave enough room to stop. But, and this is a massive hurdle for the victim in the front car, that legal presumption of fault does not mean the at-fault driver's insurance company is just going to accept liability and hand you a check to cover your medical bills.
Oh, of course not.
Yeah.
That is where the reality gets really dark.
Oh.
Because the case files show that insurance adjusters are highly trained to ruthlessly attempt to minimize your invisible injuries.
They really are.
Like, they will look at photographs of that perfectly intact plastic bumper and argue to a jury, look at this car. A 5-mile-an-hour tap couldn't possibly cause a herniated disc that requires a $200,000 spinal fusion surgery.
Exactly. Or they will attempt to shift the comparative negligence onto the victim.
How do they do that?
They might claim your brake lights were burned out or that you stopped unreasonably and aggressively fast, trying to argue that you share a percentage of the blame.
Wow.
Yeah. And if they can prove that, it reduces what they actually have to pay out.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. The source material lays out this extensive, crucial checklist of what a victim is supposed to do the absolute second the crash happens.
Oh, the checklist.
Yeah. It's like, call law enforcement immediately and demand a police report.
Yeah.
Take highly detailed photographs of the scene, the road conditions, and the vehicle damage from multiple angles.
Right. Gather contact information from any witnesses before they get annoyed and just drive away.
Exactly. Seek immediate medical attention, even if you feel okay. Because, as we know, adrenaline masks deep tissue pain.
And perhaps most importantly, explicitly avoid giving any recorded statements to the opposing insurance company's adjusters without your own legal guidance.
Because they will use your shock and confusion to trick you into downplaying your injuries on tape.
Absolutely. They will.
It's fantastic advice.
Yeah.
But let's ground this in reality for a second. You have just been smashed from behind on the Cross Bronx Expressway.
A nightmare scenario.
Right. 18-wheelers are flying by you at terrifying speeds just inches from your door. Your adrenaline is spiking, your neck is screaming in pain, and you might be actively suffering the early stages of a concussion.
Yeah.
How on earth is someone in the middle of an acute medical emergency supposed to act like a seasoned private investigator and manage a 6-point legal checklist?
They can't. They simply can't. It is an overwhelming, nearly impossible expectation to place on someone experiencing physical and psychological trauma.
Right.
But the harsh reality of the legal system is that determining liability and securing compensation relies entirely on hard evidence. And evidence vanishes incredibly quickly.
It really does.
Those moments after a crash are the golden hours of evidence collection.
Because if you don't get the witness's phone number right then, you never will.
Exactly. You need the official police report to establish the baseline facts. You need witness corroboration before memories fade.
Right. And surveillance footage too, right?
Yes. You need surveillance footage from nearby businesses or traffic cameras pulled before the systems automatically overwrite the data every 24 hours.
Wow, just 24 hours.
Yeah. In complex cases, lawyers even need to dispatch forensic experts to measure skid marks before the rain washes them away, or pull the black box event data recorder from the at-fault vehicle to prove exactly how fast they were going and whether they even touched the brakes.
Which you physically and mentally cannot do from an emergency room bed or, you know, while wearing neck brace.
Exactly. which naturally leads to the ultimate solution outlined in these case files.
Yeah.
You cannot navigate a complex medical recovery while simultaneously executing an aggressive, time-sensitive evidence collection campaign against an insurance company.
Especially when they have bottomless financial resources and teams of lawyers entirely dedicated to denying your claim.
Exactly.
So if you ever find yourself sitting on the shoulder of the Hutchinson River Parkway with a ringing head and a crushed bumper,
right,
you do not want to try and play lawyer.
No, absolutely not.
You need top-tier legal firepower. And the case files make it remarkably clear why victims in Westchester and NYC turn to the law offices of Norman Gershon.
Yeah, he has over 35 years of deep, entrenched experience fighting these exact battles across Westchester, White Plains, Yonkers, the Bronx, Manhattan, Queens, Brooklyn, and the greater New York metropolitan area.
That's a huge footprint.
It is. But the defining credential here isn't just his tenure in the community. The sources emphasize that Norman Gershon is the lawyer that other attorneys call to try their toughest, most complex cases.
Wow. That piece of information says everything you need to know.
Doesn't it?
I mean, when another legal professional looks at a heavily disputed liability case or a case with catastrophic, multi-million-dollar medical implications and says, "This is too complex for our firm, we need to bring in the heavy artillery," they pick up the phone and call Norman Gershon.
Because insurance companies know his track record, and frankly, they fear litigating against him.
They know he means business.
They know he has the resources to hire the top-tier accident reconstructionists and the biomechanical medical experts required to visually prove to a jury exactly how those invisible injuries occurred.
Right.
And they know he prepares every single case as if it is going to trial, meaning he will not be intimidated into taking a low-ball settlement just to close the file and move on.
And it's truly staggering to look at the scale of these financial recoveries. I'm looking at these verdicts, and it completely resets how I view the financial devastation of these accidents.
Let's hear some of them.
For example, he secured a $16.5 million verdict for a passenger severely injured in a collision with a bus.
Wow.
And another $14.5 million settlement in a serious bus accident case. I mean, you don't secure eight-figure verdicts without an absolute mastery of the law and the medical science.
No, you don't. And when you look specifically at the motor vehicle cases, you really see the massive financial toll of the spinal injuries we dissected earlier.
Yeah.
He secured a $5.445 million verdict in an accident involving complex cervical and lumbar fusion.
Jeez. And there's also a $5.068 million verdict for a sideswipe collision, a $3.75 million verdict for a lumbar fusion case. A $3 million verdict for severe spinal injuries, and a $2.5 million verdict for a violent intersection crash right here in Westchester County. We're talking about verdicts that cover a lifetime of specialized medical care, decades of lost earning potential, and the profound daily reality of chronic pain and suffering.
Absolutely. And furthermore, for the victim, there is zero financial risk to access this level of representation.
Right, because you only pay if you win.
Exactly. The firm operates on a contingency fee basis, meaning they advance all the massive costs of investigating the crash, hiring the experts, and fighting the insurance companies.
That's a huge relief for anyone going through this. But beyond the staggering financial numbers, it is the client advocacy that really stands out in the files.
Yeah, I love the testimonials.
Right. One client testimonial noted, quote, "Smart, experienced, compassionate, tough. You owe it to yourself to have him assess your situation if you want a superior result."
That's high praise.
It is. Another simply stated quote, "Norman worked his magic and got me a bigger settlement than I expected."
That is exactly what you need when your world has been turned upside down by a careless driver. You need a fierce advocate to handle the aggressive adjusters and the complex legal filings while you focus your energy entirely on healing your body.
So, if you are ever the victim of someone following too closely, keep his number saved in your glove box or in your phone contacts right now.
Right.
The exact and only phone number you need is 914-485-4444.
That's right.
Again, let Norman Gershon handle the fight. That number is 914-485-4444.
So as we synthesize everything we've covered today, the key takeaway is that knowledge is only valuable when you understand how to apply it.
Very true.
Maintaining a safe following distance is obviously your best physical defense on the asphalt.
Yeah.
But understanding the physics of energy transfer, recognizing the delayed symptoms of spinal and brain injuries, and knowing your legal rights and exactly who to call to enforce them is your ultimate shield in the aftermath.
So what does this all mean for the future of our daily commute? I mean, we've talked about the human element, but the driving landscape is shifting rapidly.
It really is, which raises a fascinating and perhaps slightly unsettling thought experiment to leave you with.
Oh, I love a good thought experiment. Let's hear it.
Think about the rapid integration of semi-autonomous technology in modern cars. We have vehicles heavily equipped with automatic emergency braking, adaptive cruise control, and radar sensors.
Right, all the bells and whistles.
Yeah, we are increasingly outsourcing our perception and reaction time to algorithms.
Oh, wow. Where does liability fall when the computer is driving?
Exactly. What happens when you are cruising down the Cross Bronx Expressway, relying on your adaptive cruise control, and your car's software miscalculates the distance?
Oh, man.
Or, say, a LiDAR sensor gets covered in road salt and fails to register sudden stop-and-go traffic, resulting in a catastrophic rear-end collision. Under New York's presumption of fault laws, who is actually negligent?
That's a great question.
Is it you, the human driver, who trusted the vehicle's safety system, or is it the multi-billion-dollar tech manufacturer who programmed the software?
Wow. That is a brilliant point. The presumption of fault takes on a whole new, incredibly complex meaning when the driver who failed to leave enough room was a silicon computer chip.
Exactly.
The legal blame game is only going to get more intense from here.
It
is definitely something you chew on the next time your car's safety sensors aggressively beep at you in traffic.
The laws of physics won't change, but the laws of the road certainly will.
Very well said. Thank you all for joining us on this deep dive into the hidden dangers of tailgating and the legal realities of the road. Stay safe out there. Leave plenty of room between your bumper and the car ahead, and we will catch you next time.